Amen, sisters. I know it's warm. And some of us might experience some personal summers as we're having our... I know. And as you do so, we will... We'll just sit beside you and appreciate you enjoying your own personal summer. So, but I'm really more than happy. I don't want to use the word excited because we use it a lot. I do feel very honored, Vicky, that you accepted when I asked you last month, right? I think was it last month? Beginning of June, when I asked you to come and speak, and I said, no, block out that day. I want you to come and speak to my women, whatever it is you're learning. And she said, great, I'm learning about Mary and her relationships. So I said, perfect, come and teach us about her. I'd like us to, I personally want to hear what you've learned about her and what I can imitate in her. And I'm excited that all of us can get to hear you speak about her. But like what Richard said, we do know about Douglas Jacoby. I know. But Vicky's an amazing woman of God. We were talking about her conversion, how from earlier on, I think from around 14, 16 there, you were seeking and searching for God, and you went from being an atheist, not believing in God, to just really praying and wondering where is God, especially from her biology classes, her chemistry classes, seeing that all this just ties together. It's gotta be God. And it was just, it's always inspiring when you talk about your conversion and just seeing how God just pulled you from the darkness in at that such incredible age. But more than anything, I think for me, Vicky inspires me. Her life, your life of service, just wanting to serve God, living in different countries, and we were talking about the different cultures and how we've had to learn and adapt, and we're both married to men who are not from our own countries of origin, and how funny that is with the little nuances and idiosyncrasies that happen in our lives. But more than anything, I think it's your deep love for God and your desire to want to serve God and His people anytime and anywhere. For that, I'm very grateful. So without further ado, I think I'm going to pray, and then I'll ask you to come up. Shall we pray? Father, we praise you and glorify your name. Father, you're amazing in the things you do, the way you seek us out, the way you know us, Father. As you've said before, we were formed in our mother's womb, and you put in each and every one of us that innate desire and longing to want to be with you, Father. And even when we try to fill it with so many things in the world, you patiently watch us as we again and again reject you. But even in our rejection of you, you constantly reach out to us, Father, to the day that when we decide to follow you, when we are awakened to our sinful state and we realize what your sacrifice did on the cross. I thank you so much for your patience, for your love, for your sacrifice for us, so we can be able to spend eternity with you. I pray that you be with Vicky as she speaks to us about Mary and her relationships, Father. Thank you for the day that you called her and asked her to serve humanity, Father. Thank you for her saying yes. I pray, Father, that you fill Vicky up with your Holy Spirit. I pray that she'll speak through your Spirit and that you'll touch our hearts through her. We love you, Father. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Well, I'm so excited to be with you tonight, but I also wanted to say I brought my youngest daughter with me, Lily, and I'm wondering where she is. She's sitting here on the front row, and it was so exciting. She just got back from the swamp last week, but she shared the week as a co-counselor with Gina. And it was just so much fun. Did I get that right? Oh, okay. And, you know, I go back, Sarah and I first really got a chunk of time together back in 95 in Johannesburg, South Africa. And, you know, it's amazing all of a sudden that our daughters would end up being together all these years later at the swamp. And sometimes I just marvel at how God continues to work and orchestrate our lives. Because we meet people and we find we have so much in common and we have all these connections. And that's one of the most amazing things, I think, about being a part of a fellowship, a part of a worldwide sisterhood. And a little bit, that's what I want to share about tonight, is about Mary. And it's about her relationships. And she's somebody who moved a lot. And I'm talking about Mary, the mother of Jesus. And one of the reasons I started studying Mary is that my life started to take turns and directions that I didn't expect. And for me, I look for someone in the Bible that I can imitate. I do well if I can follow in somebody's footsteps. And I started thinking about Mary. And I know we have a lot of the teens and the middle school girls with us in tonight, but you know, we start finding out about Mary's life, I believe, when she was a teen. Back in the time of Jesus, those girls often got betrothed, got engaged when they were 14 or 15 years old. That was not unusual. And think of some of you in this room. Could you imagine finding out? And this wasn't your choice. You didn't pick out the nice, cute boy, you know, who sort of, I don't know, in some advertisement. It's all of a sudden your parents have chosen somebody. And typically the guy was a little bit older. He had a profession and he was going to have a home where he could take you. And you were probably quite a bit younger. And that's when we first come into contact with Mary. And yet what I love about it is that we see her life at a very early stage. And we're actually able to walk in her footsteps. Some of us in this room, next month I turn 50, okay? So I'm heading up for that great whatever. So some of us who are at that age, you know, when I look at the end of Mary's life, well, not the end, but when I look at her having Jesus, probably when she's a teen, let's say she has Jesus when she's around about 18 or so. Jesus is 30, 33 perhaps when he dies. She may be around about 50. She may be a little bit younger, but she may be that menopausal woman. Now, some of you teen girls, you've got menopausal moms, okay? And you're having to learn to deal with us, and we're going through all these hormonal changes just like you are. And it's like, what's going on in this house? Mom's emotional, I'm emotional, we're all crying, you know. But, you know, all of a sudden, we kind of find ourselves in these situations in life, and I started to study out Mary because she's a woman that I can relate to. Now, at 50, and I'm looking at her and maybe saying she's at 50. I don't think she ever thought she would be watching her son on the cross. And a lot of us in here, whether you're 15 or 50, you're looking at your life going, this isn't what I thought. This isn't what I planned. This isn't what I expected in high school. Oh, this isn't what I expected once my kids were growing up and getting older. So you know, as I told you, I'm nearly 50. I have a 22-year-old son, a 20-year-old daughter, and a 17-year-old daughter. So that's where I am in my stage of life. And we all grow up with this idea about what our life is going to be like. And we have dreams. And whether it starts out with the Disney princess, we start very early. And we're looking for that prince. And then we have ideas where we want to go to college and where we want to go. But maybe already some of those things aren't quite panning out the way we are. We expect it. I mean, Sarah shared, you know, she did the unforgivable sin. She married a Nigerian. I did the unforgivable sin coming from England. She was from Africa. I married an American. And people are just like, what's wrong with you? Why did you do that? Like, you know, you lost your mind. And it's really funny. And then I ended up living in America. And I never dreamt in a million years as a little girl that I would live in America. There's nothing wrong with America, but it's very different to where I grew up. And it really hit me one day when I listened to my three kids with these incredible American accents that become more and more southern. And I'm like, God, no, this wasn't in my dream. This is what I wasn't expecting this. And it's sometimes it tweaks us a little bit because we're like, where are you, God? I said I would follow you, but I didn't quite expect this. So we'll start out in Luke chapter 1 because we've got some of the younger girls with us. You know, I want to talk a little bit about what I've been learning. And I'll share as I go along about the difference about being faithful and about being full of faith. And Mary, as a young woman, she's a young girl, she's a teen, we see her full of faith, ready to go, get up and go. go anywhere, do anything. I'm going to pick up in Luke chapter 1, and I think we all know that the angel comes to visit Zechariah, first of all, and that's one of Elizabeth is his wife, and tells Zechariah when he's in the temple that Elizabeth is going to have a baby. Now, she's quite a little bit older. Then this angel, a few months later, comes to Mary, who is very young. She's a teen. Verse 26, it says, in the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent an angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you." Mary wondered and was greatly troubled at his words. What kind of greeting might this be? But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you are to call him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he'll reign over the whole house of Jacob forever. His kingdom will never end." "How will this be?" Mary asked the angel, "since I'm a virgin." The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come over you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age, and she who is said to be unable to conceive is in her sixth month. For no word from God will ever fail." This is an amazing response from this teenage girl. "I am the Lord's servant," Mary answered. "May it be to me according to your word." Then the angel left her. We know then she got up and she went to be with Elizabeth. And we see the value of her relationships with other women, and we're going to touch on that. But what I love about Mary, she's got a question. And I want to encourage us, it's good to ask God questions. But there's a difference in asking God questions and questioning God. And what I see with Mary, and I compare her to Zechariah, Zechariah also has a question. But he's questioning God. He's like, when he's told, he's got a wife, I know she's old, that she's going to have a baby, he's like, how can I be sure of this? And I think we have to learn, in asking questions of God, he doesn't mind giving us a little bit more detail, because Mary says, "How will this be?" And I think sometimes, especially when we're young, when things don't go our way, we can get an attitude towards God and we question him. And we question his justice. We question his mercy. We question his goodness. We question, is he really all-knowing? It's very different if you say, "God, could you please explain to me how you have this power or how you have this ability? Or could you show me some more things from your word?" Rather than undermining or thinking maybe our mind might be greater than God's mind. We face this so much in school. When you're in high school, they're always like, "It's your turn. You do it, girl. You go, girl." You know, it's all about you. And it's all about us. And in your senior year, they're going to be pushing you in every direction. You go to the college of your choice. But what would Mary's attitude be? Where would God like me to go? Rather than, I've got to fight for my rights and make sure I can do this. And you see that with Zechariah. God makes the man silent. I don't know how long Zechariah was silent, but I reckon it had to be about a year. Because he was in the temple, he had to go home, his wife had to get pregnant, and then they had to have the baby, so we know that's at least 9 months, you know. And then we find out that eventually he accepts God's word, and he's like, "We're going to name him John," and then he's able to speak again. But to all of you out there, and to me sometimes, when God seems silent, or I'm very quiet, maybe he's just shut me up for a little while because I'm questioning rather than asking a question. I want to ask you, are you questioning God and his ability and his power? Or are you asking God to show you? Is it, how can I be sure of this? Or how will this be? And just think about it as you ask questions. It's great to ask questions. But when you say, "How will this be?" you're accepting, like Mary, that God has got an incredible plan for your life. You just need a few more details to explain it. I mean, God's answer is, "Hey, the Holy Spirit's going to come on you." I mean, does that give her much of an answer? Does that explain what's going to happen? She's like, "OK, okay, thanks God. May it be to me as you have said, and on she goes. And I just see this woman as a woman just being full of faith, and she's young. And sometimes we are that way when we're younger. And those of us who were converted many years ago, I was converted in 83. Are you like Mary? Are you full of faith? Are you inspiring? I mean, we look at this young woman and you're like, wow, this is amazing. She goes on, she marries Joseph, and we know that they come up to all kinds of trials. She's very pregnant. She has to go to Bethlehem. That was a long journey. They get to Bethlehem, then find out Herod's trying to kill Jesus, and they have to go to Egypt. It's a completely foreign country. Eventually they come back, and then they still find that Herod's brother is in power now, and it's not so good, and they've got to go back to Nazareth. And I see this young woman full of faith, being willing to follow God's plan. But I don't think that's what she was dreaming about as a teenage girl. That was far from her thoughts. And I think many of us, we've moved many times, and we can relate to her. And we see Mary, but I love the way that Mary, as soon as she finds out her good news, she wants to go and share it with Elizabeth. And Elizabeth's a little bit older. But for us women, when you get good news, have you got a spiritual soulmate that you can't wait to share your good news with? Because sometimes we don't have those relationships. Is there a Mary and an Elizabeth in your life? Do you long for that? Are you willing to travel for a relationship? You know, Mary's just had some incredible news that she doesn't quite understand, but when she heard that Elizabeth was pregnant, she's like, I've got to go and see. And probably some of the most amazing things we see in the scripture is this bond between these two women. And they're both going to have special children. And Elizabeth is just delighted, and she feels honored that Mary would come to see her, because she understood Mary's going to have the greater child. As women in our relationships, even as teens, are we competitive with one another? Or do we really rejoice with someone else's good fortune? In school, when someone gets the better grade, and maybe you know they didn't finish that book, and they do better than you, does that irk you? Does it make you mad? It's not fair, you know. She never even read the book. She just did the Cliff Notes, you know. I mean, all these different things. Or do we feel, good for you, that's awesome, I'm going to read Cliff Notes next time. You know, I mean, do we have it? But I think that as often as women, we tear down our relationships because we have a hard time rejoicing, because we compare to ourselves. And envy and jealousy, we constantly have to repent of it. Because we look and we compare and it's like, well, she's slimmer or she's taller or she's fairer or her hair. I mean, there's always something that we see. All the way through life, we compare. When our comparison needs to be to Jesus, and if we compare ourselves to Jesus, we're going to have these incredible relationships. I'm not going to talk about Mary's relationship with Joseph, but those of us who are married, think about it. Think about how Joseph protects his wife and Mary allows herself to be protected. I'm throwing that out for the older women, okay, just as a thought. We see Mary as a mother in the temple taking her young child. We see her with Anna, we see her with Simeon, we see her child being blessed. And she stores and she treasures these things in her heart. And we know that scripture. To the older women, what do you treasure in your heart? Is it seeing spiritual growth in your children? Is it seeing God working in people's lives? Is that what you treasure? Are you more concerned about that 401k or where you're next going on vacation? You know, because the world comes in on us. And yet what I love about Mary is that she treasures these things. She savors these moments, but it's spiritual things. Because she's full of faith and she doesn't get the big picture as to what's going to happen to her son, but she knows it's special. And a relationship with God, when we see our children learning about God, those times are special. Family devotionals are special. Singing in the car is special. Praying, going to camp. We have an opportunity. We have all these experiences and they're special. Let's make sure that those are the things that we treasure in our hearts. Then we see Mary moving on in life. We know she has a number of children. Seems like she may have had 5, 6, possibly 7. It's a lot. And we catch up with her when she presents, when they take Jesus to the temple when he's 12 years old. And Mary, at this point, she's losing focus a little bit. And she takes it very personally when Jesus is more interested in the scriptures than hanging with his family. We then see her a few years later, and we no longer hear about Joseph. And obviously some hard things have happened in her life. In Mark chapter 3, we find Mary. Jesus has started his ministry, and they all think he's a little crazy. I think there's many of us who've had sons who think they're a little crazy at some time. Make sure I find. Did I say? Mark 3, verse 31. And Jesus is out teaching and preaching, and he's answering lots of people. And verse 31, it says, they've even accused Jesus of having an evil spirit, and things are pretty much getting tense. It's early in his ministry, and it says, then Jesus' mother and brother arrived, standing outside. They sent someone into him. A crowd was sitting around him, and they told him, your mother and brothers are outside looking for you. Who are my mother and my brothers? He asked. Then he looked at those seated in a circle around him and said, here are my mother and my brothers. Whoever does God's will is my brother and sister and mother. There's another time where they go, another account, where they find out he hasn't eaten. And here this is a man, he's 30 plus years old, and all of a sudden mum's like, he didn't eat. And mum's going to go in there and try to take charge. We've seen her try to take charge a little bit earlier on in John chapter 2 when they're at the wedding. And he's like, mom, don't bother me now. You know, I don't really want to do all these miracles. But he's still respectful and pleasing to her. But we see this side of Mary. And we know Mary, I'm going to say, she's in her mid, I just want, I'm hazarding, she's probably in her mid-40s. Hormonal things going on. There's a lot of us in here, maybe heading up to that mid-40s. And we see things in our family or our children or relationships we don't like and we want to take control. And it's a huge challenge because we lose sight of God working. And we take it upon ourselves that I need to orchestrate this. And when children are little, we do a lot of orchestration and we are there. But as they get older, we need to let go. And you see Mary really getting a life rebuke, kind of being put in her place. When's the last time you got a good rebuke? I've had a number. Well, one a few weeks ago, I started doing a master's program. And it's online. And the actual master's program's okay, but all the computer stuff I'm having huge problems with. And the orientation course, I almost failed that. I couldn't do it. And one morning I woke up and I'm so stressed and I'm just like, I just don't know how to use this computer. I don't know how I'm going to do all this. I just feel so anxious. And I'm under time pressure. And I'm telling this to Doug. And he's like, you know, Vicky, this is good for you. Get used to it. And I thought, I haven't even got out of bed. I haven't even had my first cup of tea. And he dares to tell me that. But I actually kept quiet for once and I thought about it. And I thought, you know what? I signed up to do this course. You signed up to be a mum, but you didn't know what it was going to involve. I chose this. And it's a little harder than I expected. And it is good for me. Because for the last however many years, 10 years, I've been able to be at home, a stay-at-home mum, and my schedule and my time, I have dictated and been in charge of. And all of a sudden, I'm kind of under some accountability. And I didn't like it. And it was so good for me to get that challenge. And some of us, we need to be told, get over it. Don't fret about it. We know we actually need someone to do that, but we're like, oh, don't talk to me like that. No. We need a smack across the head every now and again. And we need a rebuke. And I think that's what Mary got. How do you take those challenges? It may not, maybe Doug could have delivered it in a more sensitive way, but it was exactly what I needed. It was not a big deal, but sometimes we make things a big deal. What I appreciate about Mary is that really she was slipping, and Jesus knew it, and he had the chance to say something to his mother, to even his brothers and sisters, and teach everyone around him that my family is the one who wants to put into practice God's word. That is the challenge for us. Do I want to put into practice God's words? Or do I want to talk about it? You know, that there's a big difference with those different things. The part about Mary that, for me and her relationships, are amazing is when she comes to be with Jesus at the cross. And I'm going to jump there and know that you know the story. One of the things that I admire about Mary is that she follows Jesus from the distance, but it's at Passover. She was living in Nazareth, and she's come to Jerusalem. That's a long distance. She's older, and she's come with his brothers and sisters, and you see her. She's come to the center of worship. She's hanging, and she's a little bit on the fringe. But right there at the foot of the cross is where we find Mary. And some of us have gone through some incredibly challenging things, maybe with our children. I know these last few years, and this is probably why I studied Mary's, for our family, it's been very, very challenging. There's a lot of things that have gone on. In April 2009, one of our friends up in Virginia, a very close family to us, their 17-year-old son, Josh, died. This was the family we spent Thanksgiving and spring breaks with. The next year, in June 2010, Michael died. Michael was James's roommate for 2 years at college. He was a disciple. He just died in his sleep, just as my son was finishing college. But he was a friend of our family, somebody we knew. We'd known Michael. And then many of you would have known, but then last year, just a few months later, in October 2010, is Katie LaPointe died. Katie LaPointe was adopted by Joan LaPointe, a single mom, and she was adopted from China. Her sister Mia is also adopted, and Mia and Lily are from the same orphanage. The last time Mia and Lily were together was in 1995. They were in the same orphanage in Shanghai, China. And then in 2006, we all ended up living in Atlanta, about 2 miles from each other. And included in that group was Joyana Malutnok. And all of a sudden, when I talk about how does God work, we had 3 girls from the same orphanage in China all end up going to the same high school. God moves in mysterious ways. And so all of us parents stood back amazed and said, oh, wow, this is incredible. What's God doing? Obviously, these girls are going to need us. It turned out, though, who really needed each other was Joan LaPointe, Peggy Malutnok, and myself. It was us mothers. Scott, Joy's brother, Scott Malutnok, he had a motorcycle accident. Some of us know, many of us prayed for him. But he had a severe brain injury. He's 23 years old, but he's probably at a third grade level. So here was a boy hoping to go into the police force. Now, 6'2", strapping young lad, but he's like a third grader. We went through our own thing. One of my other daughter, and some of you know her, but she's had some significant mental health challenges. And those of you who know, when someone gets sick with mental health, you kind of lose the person that you knew before to a sickness. It's not a death, but it's a huge loss. And then Mia has lost her sister, Katie. So we've lost all these friends. And you just can't understand it. We're talking about people who are 19, 20, 22, 17. I mean, they're so young. And you don't expect these things to happen. And you feel like the wave comes in and you just have taken a breath and then another wave comes in. And what we found is that it was Joan and Peggy and myself is that we needed each other. What I want to talk about is Mary, is that you're going to go to the cross. Maybe it's one of your children you lose. They have an accident. God forbid, maybe they die. Maybe it's to illness. Maybe it's to mental health. Or maybe it's something like that. But you are going to go with Mary to the foot of the cross. And I think that's the question for us, is when we are faced with these times, are we going to be there alone? or are we going to be there with friends? And one of the huge lessons I see here is that when Mary is at the foot of the cross, she's there with what I call the other women. And I think it's something that's going to be so important to us, is understanding that we cannot do this alone and in isolation, and the depths of relationships that we're going to need to have with each other as we go through life. We see Mary, we've seen her, in a sense, just being faithful. But now we see her with these other women. And I'm trying to, I may come back to that. John 19, verse 25. Sorry, I found it where it was. It says here, near the cross of Jesus stood his mother's sister, Mary the wife of Cleopas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus saw his mother there and the disciple whom he loved standing nearby, he said to a woman, "Here's your son," and to the disciple, "Here's your mother." And from that time on, the disciple took her into his home. You know, I was with Joan, and I wasn't near the foot of the cross. I was at the bottom of Katie's bed the night that she died. I was walking out of my house Saturday night in October, and my cell phone rang. And it was Joan, and I was about to go to a concert, actually listen to one of my kids sing. And Doug and I were on the way out. I picked up that phone. And it was Joan. And we knew things were coming towards an end. She said, "Vicky, the hospice nurse has just left. Death is imminent." And I said, "Do you want me to come?" And Joan just burst into tears. And the other on the phone, I said, "We'll be right there." And we just walked out the door, drove straight to Joan's house. That was about 7 or so in the evening, and it was about 6 hours later that Katie died. But you know what was interesting? Joan was there, Peggy Malutinok was there, I was there, and a couple of other friends. But you know, as I was there, it was like being at the foot of the cross. To see Joan with her daughter, faithful, encouraging, we were singing songs. I mean, if you've ever been with someone when they die, it's very intense. And to be with a mother and a child, it's just unbelievable. But you know, at that point, it felt like being like Mary, with Mary at the foot of the cross. If something happened to one of your friends or your children, who would you call? Or who would call you? Because we've got to have these kinds of relationships. They are not comfortable. When Katie got diagnosed with cancer, we were all faithful and we were praying, but I knew what type of cancer she has. I was privy to perhaps a little bit more information. I knew this kid didn't stand a chance. And we prayed, and God did everything he could do, but it was Katie's time to go. And in 20 years, that young child has had an unbelievable impact on my life and on Lily's life, and we didn't want it to happen, but it was incredible what God had. But it was these other women that were in Joan's life, and these other women that were in Mary's life, they hadn't known each other. And we need to be women who are willing to have these kinds of relationships, to go to the uncomfortable place. You know, there was a time when Joan was kind of hiding a little bit with her children and her daughter. They were sick. And I got a call from one of the elders' wives, and they said, "Vicky, can you go over and find out what's going on? You've got a good relationship." And I went to the house, and I just kind of put myself there. You know, sometimes we know someone's having a hard time. We knock on the door, and we drop off the soup, and then we go. But I'm going to say, women, we've got to step over the threshold, and we've got to be in those uncomfortable places. And I promise you, I have cried so often with Joan, and yet it's so amazing the relationship we had. You know, later this year, or last year, our family spent Thanksgiving together, we spent Christmas together, we spent Easter together, we got rained out on the 4th of July, but one of the most encouraging things was what this last year, Mia graduated from high school. That was Katie's sister. And Mia invited me to her graduation. There were only 4 invitations. And this one was like, Mia's my child now as well. And how God takes care of us as women, but we have got to go to those really difficult places. And it's easy to be faithful and to show up and do the right thing. But to get in there, to share someone else's burden, It isn't comfortable, but that's the kind of sisterhood and fellowship that we need to be. You know, and I know a lot of things happened in our churches in 2003, and a lot of us pulled back. And it's like, take me, myself, and I, and my family, and we've kind of become an island. But we need to be these other women for each other. So often we want to be the Mary, we want to be the name person, but the other women. There is a number of times where we see these other women. You can write them down. Mark 15, verses 40 and 41, verses 46 and 47. Mark 16, verses 1 and 2. Matthew 27, 55. Luke 23, 49 and 55. And Luke 24. These are scriptures, and it talks about the other women. When I look at our fellowship today, this is who we need to become, the other women. But it's only going to be there by us praying together, by being there, by being at the painful places at the foot of the cross, being with each other. And what I want to encourage us with is, you know, when I look at Mary, is we see her in Acts chapter 1. I don't believe she felt like being with the disciples right after her son had died. I don't know that she wanted to be with these other women because they were new relationships. These were the women who'd been following and supporting her son. They weren't people that she brought with her. It wasn't her family and friends. And at 50, sometimes it's a challenge to make new relationships. Maybe you've moved into the fellowship. And we need to make new friendships. And nobody has any history with us. And you feel like, I don't feel that connected. We'll be connected when we go to the cross together. But it's a decision that we really, really need to be and to make and to be that faithful. Even as young teens, you need to make friendships with people that maybe they're not like you. But I'll be there for you. You can be on email and email contact so easily, but we need to be willing to be there for each other through thick and through thin. But in Acts chapter 1, I see Mary, who maybe had become a little faithful in her life, going through the actions, going through the motions. But in verse 12, it says, the apostles returned to Jerusalem from the hill called the Mount of Olives, the Sabbath day's walk from the city. When they arrived, they went upstairs to the room where they were staying. Those present were Peter, John, James, and Andrew, Philip, and Thomas, Bartholomew, and Matthew, James, son of Alphaeus, and Simeon, the zealot, and Judas, son of James. They all joined together constantly in prayer, along with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brothers. You know, this passage then goes on to the day of Pentecost, the beginning of the church as we know it. I believe Mary, if she's here in Acts chapter 1, she was in Jerusalem the day of Pentecost. But Mary's there with the other women, praying. She's not at home. I don't know. She's probably staying with John at this point, or possibly Lazarus, but that's another story. It's incredible to see this woman. She's out of her comfort zone. She's not in her hometown, but she's now full of faith, waiting for the coming of the church. I share this because I've seen people my age lose a parent and not come to church for a number of weeks. And I know when we're hurting, it's so easy to just want to be by ourselves and be alone. And yet Mary's an incredible example of how you need to be with the faithful. And you need to be with the other women. And we need to be praying together. And we need to be able to accept comfort from other people. And I think many of us, we're moms, and we're so used to comforting children and comforting others. Can I receive as well as give? God is going to teach us those lessons sometimes. You know, I share about Joan, who's the point. And Joan is an amazing single mom to adopt two children from China, but she's incredibly self-sufficient. But through all of this, she has opened wide her heart. She has these incredible relationships. We get together, the five of us who were there, we get together the night Katie died. We get together every now and again. And we're the other women. And you know what? There's a bond there that's going to last a lifetime. We will seek each other out. We'll always remember that it's the cross that brought us together. And we have to work towards this. And we have to make sure as we get older that we're willing to be full of faith. You know, I shared I had a good challenge from my husband. I think it was a few days later. I went to a retreat, and there Tom Brown was sharing and challenged some of us older Christians. Are you faithful? Are you full of faith? Are you questioning, as I asked earlier? Or do you have a question for God to find an answer? And I think some of us, we become faithful. Oh, yeah, we're in it for the long haul. We show up. We're doing the motions. We've got an idea how to be righteous. And it's okay to be faithful. But are you full of faith? Does your life inspire? Does it encourage? Does it draw other people out of themselves? Or is it just like, oh yeah, good old sister so-and-so. She'll be there every Sunday. But have you stepped out and done something bold or courageous? Have you helped somebody? Have you shared your faith? Have you gone to an uncomfortable place to be with a sister? Because I think that's what the call for us to be, is to die, like Mary did, full of faith. When they saw Mary in that upper room praying, I know that inspired and encouraged the 12. Because she had every excuse not to be there. And they all had some questions, and they didn't quite know how it was all going to work out. But they knew they had to stay together. And I think of that, you know, as women, our roles change. Maybe our titles change. Our expectations and our dreams perhaps don't pan out, and we get disappointed and we try to take control. But what I want to be known is a woman who's full of faith and not faithful. And when something happens, do I pray, God, I know we'll get through this? Or do I have an expectation that, God, I want to see the great things you're going to do through this situation? Do I see it as an opportunity, or are my prayers to always overcome obstacles? You know, just recently, Lily, our daughter, had a chance to go to Switzerland and go and help with some of the teens in Geneva and live with a Christian family. We saw that as an opportunity, but a lot of people saw that as an obstacle. Like, Lily, how many teens are there in Geneva? 2. How are you going to do? Fine, I'm living with a Christian family. Sometimes we think we can't survive unless we're just in our little hometown. Lily got to go. She spent 7 weeks, and then she flew back to Atlanta with 2 girls, a 9 and an 11-year-old, from Geneva to take them to the swamp. And she's only 17. And she had an incredible time, and she's got all kinds of great stories and just amazing things. And she saw it as an opportunity. And that's how I think Mary saw it. Becoming Jesus' mother, it was an opportunity, and she treasured up these things. As we get older, though, do we see it as opportunities? Do we want our children to see opportunities? So we're praying, God, help me overcome this obstacle. Dear God, help them change their mind. Or do we say, look, go, see what God can do with your life? We need as parents to want our children to go and do the things that many of us got to do. But somehow we kind of want to keep them a little bit closer. But I really pray that we'll think of it as an opportunity. And to look at things in your life as opportunity, not obstacles. To see the positive. Think of Mary when she was young. How will this be? And as a mom, when I'm presented with something, or my kids want to do this, is it, how will this be? Or is it, how can I be sure of this? No, I don't know. I'm afraid. I'm going to retreat a little bit. And I think if we have other women with us, we will be more faithful. I believe Mary was able to have that because she had the support. These women were there. Some of them had money. Some of them didn't. Some of them were very close to her son. And some were close to her. It was her sister. And yet together, we find them all, I believe, experiencing the day of Pentecost. And I know if you're like me, if there's a day in the Bible you'd like to go back and be, I would love to be in Jerusalem on that day. There's a lot of things I would like to see, but I believe that must have been something incredible. And Mary got to see that. It was a high after an incredible low. And I just want to say, you know, the things I'm learning with me is I need to make new friends at 50 years old. But to do that, I may have to go to the cross. Joan and I are great friends. We didn't know each other before 2006. But we're great buddies now. We've been somewhere. We've seen God work. we've experienced something that was really amazing to see God work, even in somebody dying. You know, in our church and in our fellowship, it's so sad when we stop coming because we stop allowing God to work and allowing God to heal of us. You know, we have a chance to be with Jesus when we're with our sisters during a crisis, because that was when we see God work. So I share these things. You just see Mary's life from beginning to end. And I pray that if you're a teen, you can see how she was full of faith. And I pray that if you're like me, like 50 years old or so, you can see that she's full of faith. And if you're saying, I'm just living out the faithful life, that you'll make some decisions to say, I want to be known as a woman who's full of faith, not as just someone who's faithful. So these are some of the things I'm learning. I pray that Mary can help you, as she's definitely helping me.
Well, Vicki, that was absolutely amazing. Thank you. And I think everybody feels probably the same as me. Oh, you got a present.
Thank you.
What is it? Oh, God. That's great. How appropriate. That is awesome.
The other woman, okay, right here.
But anyway, you know, that was exactly, I think, what we needed to hear. And I really, really appreciate that. And that was a great study. And I think one of the things that it made me think about is, you know, there are probably a lot of people in here feeling, you know what, that's what I need to do. And there is probably another group in here thinking, I can't do that. Is that really for me? And it made me think about this scripture over in Ephesians. And it says, from him the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, how they grow and build itself up in love as each part does its work. And I think that's something not for some of us to hear or most of us to hear, but every single sister in here, we all have a part that we can play in somebody else's life. And if everybody does their part, then it doesn't just fall on a very few. Everybody shares that load and has a part of that. I'm going to go now from something that was incredibly encouraging and to something incredibly mundane. But as you guys know, we're the singles have a heart to help the homeless here in Gwinnett. And there is a part of what they do that was a little bit on the embarrassing side to announce when the men were in the room. But if you do have personal hygiene, feminine hygiene products that you would like to share, that is a big need for the folks that they're helping. And Joan Lemma is the person who's taking that up and who's responsible for that. So if you would, if you do have those kinds of things, and I don't anymore, but if you I can buy them. I can always go to the store and get it. But yes, what were you going to say, Chandra?
Clothing, we did get some response from COVID, and the clothing was gone within like 10 minutes. Stays warm. And so we need more clothes also. And there are all, we have babies to teenagers to, of course, adults. And so we would love for you to just go into your closet and you know, see what you can get.
Mm-hmm. What category of clothing do you use
the most? They're all, every walk of life. They also are asking, could some of us come and help teach the children, because the children are staying there, but they're behind the school because they were homeless for a while. So they're also asking about that. And so if anybody's willing to do that, just let me know, and we can work that out.
Tammy?
I just want to put this up here. There are also a few sisters in here. If you guys have coupons and you don't use them, there's usually two coupon sources that come in your paper. It's one is called a Red Plum and one is called a Smart Source. If you want to give it to Andrea Parks, Jennifer Jewell, or me, we take those and we are extreme coupons. And so we go to the store and we get lots of free products or get them at a really reduced price. And so we've been doing that and giving it to the pantry so we can start giving.
That's smart. Out. That's great. That is great. That's great. And what Sarah had wanted me to clarify is that it is anything that you might normally use. Pads or tampons. Okay. Did you hear me? Okay. All right. So anyway, let's bow our heads and pray. It looks like the guys are right outside the door. So let's bow our heads and pray. Father, thank you so much for just the incredible blessing of being able to hear Vicki speak to us. And Father, I'm just really grateful that Mary was chosen to be this special woman in history. Father, thank you for the glimpses of her example. Thank you for the things we can take away from it, from her relationships, her repentance, her faithfulness, and her eagerness to be submissive to the plan that you had for her life. Thank you that as an older woman that she continued to grow and was able to be there on the day of Pentecost and probably be one of the very first disciples who were baptized. And Father, I'm so grateful for that. And I pray that for the young women in here, all the way through to the older women, that we would have a heart of repentance and submission to your will and an eagerness to please you and develop great friendships for the rest of our lives until we all make it together to heaven. Thank you so much for our salvation. Thank you for forgiveness and mercy, and I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.